You know, I guessed that you would be the only one who would dare to come here. You've got courage.
Yo, 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 the Ghetto Podcast crew is in the building. That's right, you got your homie, Juss.
Yo, 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 what's up, Daddy's home.
Vince here. That's right, Poppy. Chulo in the building, yo. You know what I'm saying? But yo, how you feeling?
I've been good, man. I've been good, chilling, kicking back, watching some wrestling. Took a break from NBA basketball, you know, so, you know, we don't have to be depressed about the Chicago Bulls.
No.
Got my suit for the wedding. Got the fit this weekend. So I'm feeling good, man. Feeling good.
Okay, you on your suit and tie shit. Okay. Yeah. But you know what? Speaking of the NBA, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. I do like the 3-point contest that they had with Steph Curry and Sabrina. I think they need to bring that back. Have the WNBA versus the NBA. It was close.
Yeah,
just like Chef Curry, we got another chef in the building. Sometimes a chef or a mark by choice. Ladies and gentlemen, the cook himself, Will Gray, is in the building.
What's up, everybody? Hey, how are you, gentlemen? It's good to be here. Enjoying a good Wednesday night. Watched a little AEW. Just enjoying life. I'm just happy to be here, guys. Thank you.
That's right. Of course, Will, you know what I'm saying? You always got to invite to come in at any time. You know what I'm saying? Scissor me, Daddy Will, you know?
For sure.
But yeah, guys, we start this episode like how we always start. What type of wrestling fan were y'all this week?
Okay. Will, do you want to kick things off? You're our guest.
I would say this week, I took the mantra of being the independent guy. A lot of my friends and a lot of circles, I'm like the indie guy because I watch more independent wrestling than, you know, I probably need to, but it's fun. I really enjoy it. So I would say I leaned extra heavy into that this week because there was some banter on some social media outlets where people were trying to downplay the indies because it wasn't WWE. And I was like, because it was the whole... You know, indie wrestling isn't professional wrestling. And I was like, that's not true, you know? Right. Like, and that was, so I leaned really heavy into being the indie guy this week. Definitely harder than I normally do.
What was like the argument that started off? Like, just the because it's not a big name promotion or?
Exactly. That's exactly what it was. It was that WWE was professional wrestling and the indies were kind of more of an amateur based thing, but not amateur like Greco style or collegiate wrestling, like amateur, meaning they weren't professionals yet, almost like the minor leagues or something. And I didn't necessarily disagree with that. It was just the delivery of how they presented it, because I was like, all of these guys are professional wrestlers just because they, and I went back to an old mantra that I use, and it's that in pro wrestling, everybody's a carny. It's just a matter of how big your budget is.
Right. For real.
Yeah.
Yeah, because ROH at one point was the biggest indie promotion. And it, like, it look how many wrestlers are in the bigger promotions right now. I mean, from ROH.
Every, like, I want to say, like, at least 75% of the roster in AEW could be considered an indie talent before they got the TV deal with Turner. So it's like, so you're trying to say that all that separates professional wrestling from non-professional is a TV deal?
Right. 100%. Yeah, that's what it sounded like to me, and that's why I was like, that's ridiculous, guys, because I've stood on the mountain and I'll down it that the best wrestling isn't on your TVs on Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays. You know what I mean? There's so much good wrestling out there. It doesn't have to come from one of the major two promotions to be considered good professional wrestling anymore.
You know, wasn't there a time where everyone kind of just enjoyed just wrestling in general?
Yeah, it was called the Attitude Era, and we were all children then.
I feel like I want to say 2014, 2016, whenever Lucha Underground and then the original version of NXT that we know.
Right.
And then you had Monday Night Raw, SmackDown, New Japan, ROH had their thing on Fight TV. I felt that was like kind of the last time where everyone kind of respected everyone's place.
Well, Wasn't 2016 also when the first brand split happened with Raw and SmackDown Live with AJ Styles like being one of the helms?
Like, yeah, with Daniel Bryan and Shane McMahon as GMs. Never forget that duo right there, y'all. Never forget that.
Talking smack is noted as a
Talking smack is still the number one. I thought there would be no show that would surpass Tuesday Night Titans, but that was it right there. So it's, shout out to Tuesday Night Titans. What type of fan were you, Bobby?
So, at first, I was going to answer a fantasy booking wrestling fan because after like what we saw on Raw and what we've seen on SmackDown and on NXT, I get my into my little fantasy booking mode. I like to give myself the pen. You know, it's not the official pen, no, but it's just a pen I bought at Staples or at Walgreens or something. I get my notepad and I start getting to work.
It's a paper clip.
Yeah, Michael Scott Paper Company. Yeah. But I guess my official answer is going to be an easily consumable wrestling fan.
Okay.
And what I mean by that is that right now, lately, with Raw, SmackDown, to a lesser extent, NXT, I feel like the content is very easily consumable. I've been finding myself, especially within the last 2 or 3 weeks, going through programs of Raw or SmackDown and just sitting there, I was like, oh, is it really like the 9 o'clock hour already? Are we really at the main event? Especially the way they paced Monday Night Raw this past week is you started with Drew and Cody and you finished off with Jay and Gunther. And then you sandwiched a bunch of stuff in between. The presentation right now with WWE, it's minor, but it feels different. Like you're seeing the superstars arrive at the arena. I like that because that's stuff that you see in the NBA. Even the sit down interview one side by side with Nia and Rhea Ripley, it felt like an actual like a UFC build-up match. And that's one thing that I'm enjoying so much. And then obviously the graphic transitions when they go to commercial, everyone has a unique one, and I really really love that. So Yeah, easily consuming my wrestling fandom.
No, I tweeted out that the camera work was pretty smooth. I mean, very much like a UFC type show. Like, I do miss back in the day when they would pan out to the far section of the crowd so you could get the entire layout of the arena, right? Just to show you that there's a whole crowd there. Like, I missed that, and they went back to that. I did like how they did like some Hype Williams stuff where they started off from the parking lot and just walked all the way down to the concession stand, down to the stairs, down to the ring. Like, I like that because that, you know, for people who have never been in Anaheim Pond, you know, saying shout out to Mighty Ducks, you know, who never been there, then you never seen what that arena looks like, you know? So I thought that was it gave me Shield vibes, you know what I'm saying? Is this you know, it gave me Shield vibes, you know?
Especially the shot where they started on the outside of the arena, went through the concessions, like you were saying, and they got to the whole scope of the crowd.
Right.
Like, I agree with you. That shot was fantastic. It was amazing. Even like back at the Royal Rumble, I think it was like Peter Rosenberg was like, I'm going to try to get a word with
That was dope.
And he tries to like, and then he follows him and looks for him in Gorilla, you know, like stuff like that. It's very easily digestible.
Yes. I like that. I like that. That's good.
That was a great way to put that.
That was kudos. Kudos. The type of wrestling fan I was scratching my neck in confusion, right? Because I was confused. The theories out here on the IWC and just in general are just wild. You know what I'm saying? They're just egregious. You have people having these conspiracy Austin theories. I mean, crazy ones. Just because The Rock had his finger like an L. Oh, that means he's going to lose. Oh, that means he's going to turn. It's like, who the hell cares? You know what I'm saying? Like, is he put the one up his own way? Like, does it matter like how he did it? No. You know? And then you have the people theorizing all these other things that's going to be going on. Then we don't get to talk about it before, but, you know, we talked about it a little bit on a previous episode, but people sending threats to Ava Raine on Twitter. Yeah. Like, come on, man. Like, I thought we were done with this when the whole stalker thing with what's her name?
Diana
Perazzo. Not Diana Perazzo. No, I know we're both thinking of the same person, but like XX SmackDown GM. You know what I'm saying? Jersey Devil. Like
Sonya Deville.
Sonya Deville. Thank you. Yeah, Sonya Deville. All the stalking with her and all the things that happened, like, haven't we learned, you know, these sweaty ass people, like, this is not how you do things, you know? And so it's just like, these people just need to touch grass. I say it all the time, touch grass, take a full shower, take a real shower. Don't just let the water run down your body and just be like, oh, I cleaned myself. No, you did not clean yourself. You
make sure you really scrub in there. Use a loofah.
Dude, please, man. That's why people made these objects, so they're hard to reach places, so you can clean in between the joints. You know? Don't be that person. Don't be that person. We say this on Marks and Mics all the time. It's from face to ass, not ass to face, you know?
Yeah.
But speaking of which, shout out to them. That's my homies. But guys, moving on to the wrestling week. I appreciate that. Winners and losers. This week, I know we kind of talked about it off air. It was a little bit of like, you know, standstill. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of just like, how do you say it? Boiled corn. You know what I'm saying? Unseasoned chicken a little bit. You know, still good, still healthy for you. Maybe steamed broccoli. It's healthy, but there's no flavor in there. You know, kind of just like, it's high. It's high, you know.
Okay. All right.
It's good, not great.
Okay.
Shout out Botch Botch and Share Shots.
I am going to start off with a not so serious loser. I'm going to give a loser to the wrestling community in Australia, in attendance, specifically the ones attending Elimination Chamber.
Okay.
And Lucha fans worldwide, actually. They're all going to get lumped together as losers because. Okay. Unfortunately, due to the events of Friday Night SmackDown, there will be no Dirty Dom match at the Elimination Chamber, meaning you don't get graced with the presence of Dominic Mysterio in in-ring action. I'm sure Dominic Mysterio will be there for Mommy or supporting Judgment Day members and whatnot. But the great people of Australia deserve the Dominic Mysterio match, and unfortunately, they don't get it.
That's a fat L right there, unfortunately. Okay, I'm gonna just get this out the way. The biggest winner of the week, that R Truth Deadline documentary series that he got going on, Truth Line, where he was telling his whole story. This man had photoshopped baby pictures of him and Judgment Day together. Oh my gosh, man.
The rain poncho too.
The rain poncho, man. Come on, man. You know, I mean, that this man can't do any wrong. That, you know, this storyline with Judgment Day and him should be dead, right? It should be done. But it just keeps getting better and better, and he keeps getting. Yeah. Basically, if I have to compare who R-Truth is, he's Jazz for Fresh Prince. Uncle Phil keeps throwing his ass out. He keeps coming back in.
He makes his way back in.
But he's right there every time.
Oh, shout out to Jazz.
Shout out to Jazz, man. But yeah, what are some of your thoughts and you know, praise from that docu-series that he did? I mean, come on, man.
I think everything he's doing right now, it's like, and this is going to sound like a crazy analogy because of what it represents, but the bloodline, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Sami Zayn getting into the bloodline, how it started as a joke and he was like that dude on the outside like trying to work his way in, and it was almost like a comedic angle.
Yeah.
And then Sami became an anchor point for the bloodline for so long.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing that with R-Truth in Judgment Day, right when Judgment Day needed it, because right. The same way with Sami Zayn, you know, Judgment Day was kind of like people on the internet, especially the IWC started doing their chirping thing where they were like, well, it, you know, it started to get kind of, you know, when are they going to break up? Right. Mommy and Dom are going to do their own thing. You know, when Finn loses the belts, him and JD will be out. Like, people started talking like that. Then R-Truth popped up. And now everybody's tied into this R-Truth stuff. And dude, comedic gold. Some of the most entertaining stuff on WWE TV right now is the R-Truth and that, like you said, that docuseries with the baby pictures and stuff, and him doing that super stone face interview, yeah. And he's explaining it. It's like when he was talking about the document or the back in the day when he was doing the John Cena thing, yeah. Talking about like being a little kid growing up watching John Cena, and it's like, man. Like, it's just chef's kiss. It's dude, just that good, man.
He had the line. Remember the line? He's like, me joining the Judgment Day is like when John Cena first wore jorts. It's like, oh, my. Like, how does anyone keep a straight face after saying that, you know? Like,
dude, shout out to Jackie. I don't know her last name, but shout out to Jackie. She did a good job trying to keep a straight face during the whole interview.
Yes, yes. Oh, man. Everything is great. Everything is great. And the thing is, like, you made the comparison to Bloodline Will. But, you know, I always made that comparison to when Mick Foley and the Rock and Sock Connection started. Like, Mick Foley, yes. Shout out, came in during the Rock's point of his career where he was transitioning, when he kind of needed that kind of, I guess you could say heel to face, but that a little bit of a tweener role, right? Because he still wanted to be hated, but... It was like, how can we hate somebody but then also love him at the same time? So Mick Foley was that bridge. And I feel like there's going to be a little bit with Judgment Day, especially since Damian Priest has the title. So at some point, you know, because we're going to be looking at Damian Priest as the guy that's going to take one of these titles, you know.
World title. Let's be fair. Let's be honest.
NXT World Championship.
Listen, Matt's been advocating for that on SmackDown Raw, and I don't want this to be the case, but the more and more we get closer to that deadline of that 1 year mark, the more and more that seems like a realistic option for him.
He wanted, what, July?
Yeah.
Yeah, because Money in the Bank is mostly, yeah, it's July.
Yeah.
It's July 4th weekend, because they were ironically in England last year for it.
Oh, right.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, what if they played the storyline where, like, he goes to cash in but fails because he waited until the 11th hour? So they, like, try to play off, like, that bumbling idiot thing where he's like, oh, shit, like, my time's almost up. And then he starts fumbling the cash-ins like he was doing earlier in the run. Oh, and then, great. Like, Austin Theory ran into a few years ago, or I guess maybe, what, last year was that? Mm-hmm. But, Julie, maybe they... And it seems weird to lean into that as being like a failure being part of a storyline, but they've never had somebody fail to cash in or not use it in time. So maybe leaning into that would be a cool angle for the Judgment Day story.
No,
that's definitely one way to go into it. I personally, selfishly, and with my own personal bias, would not want to see Damian Priest just let the time period expire on the Money Bank contract. If WWE really wanted to be sticklers about it, they could say he has until the end of the Money in the Bank pay-per-view to cash in.
Right.
And that's something, like I said, like you mentioned, Will, and it's something that I've thought about in the past, is what if they actually milk this as long as they can to the last possible hour, just kind of like when your team is drafting, either in the NFL or NBA or whatever have you, they're in their draft, they're waiting to the final second, the final hour to make this last minute decision on who to pull the trigger on. And maybe that's Damian Priest. There were opportunities earlier on where he probably should have cashed in, and could have cashed in, but either Rhea said no, the rest of Judgment Day came out and instead of helping, kind of like inintentionally got in his way, or someone else, like a third party came in and right. said, no, bitch, fuck out of here.
I still stand on my initial prediction was Finn and JD changed the contracts when they changed the briefcase. That's going to be the catalyst that breaks up Judgment Day, is because he's going to cash in, and then you're going to realize this whole time he's been carrying around a phony briefcase because Finn and JD have the real contract.
I would love them to circle back to it, because it'd be perfect, especially if Seth retains that world title after WrestleMania and then Finn comes in as the world champion. You just kind of circle back to a storyline that I felt was working, and was one of the few times where Finn Balor was felt like a serious, credible competitor. Right. since I guess his NXT run was the last time I felt like I can look at him. It was like, oh, that's a top of the card kind of guy. Mm-hmm. And as much as I'd like to disregard it, like I do want to give credit to Matt. It's like out of all of them right now, he's slowly losing all the stock in Judgment Day. Right now, he's got the lowest stock out of all of them, and that's including JD McDonagh, his protege.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, and the thing is, like, I think people want to just forget about the pop locking routine that he did with Roman.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So they want to get away as much as from that. But I do agree, if something doesn't happen with Finn, yeah, he might be looked down the totem pole. But you know how WWE is. They can always make you feel and root for somebody, like, you know, out of nowhere, right? Like, just like R-Truth wasn't doing anything at all, you know? And then now we're like, could R-Truth be an IC champion? You know, it's crazy that sounds. As crazy as sounds, but I wouldn't be against it.
Top champion, and I wouldn't be opposed to it.
I wouldn't be opposed to him winning any title. He's won the NWA 10 pounds. I was just going to say, yeah. He's been a world champion. I think he has the credentials that with a story that made him pinning the champion make sense, R-Truth would be a very credible champion. I don't think he's won the U.S. title. He's won, you know, the 24/7 not included, but he's won tag championships, U.S. championships. Yep. He won the NWA, the X division. Mm-hmm. He was an NWA tag champ. Like, the dude's got credentials for a validating world championship run.
Oh yeah, 100%. He's definitely have a Hall of Fame career too. I mean, come on, when you're a tag team champion with Pac-Man Jones, it's like
true. If Damian does successfully cash in his championship and he's the a world heavyweight champion, you can realistically, with this storyline being built up, like have R-Truth and Miz take the titles off of Judgment Day. Mm-hmm. Damian Priest cashes in, becomes world champion shortly thereafter. The next PLE. They do R-Truth versus Damian Priest for the world title, and that's a true believable story.
Ooh.
That's my little awesome theory.
Okay. I'm with that.
But let's give Will a chance to give a winner and or loser.
Mine goes back to last week a little bit, but because, you know, I wasn't here last week, I'm going to throw it out there. And it, of course, it's going to come from indie wrestling, but Defy Wrestling and Progress Wrestling are going under a huge merger right now. Defy Wrestling being one of the premier independent wrestling promotions on the West Coast. Progress Wrestling being ultimately the AEW to Rev Pro's WWE in England. You know what I mean? Like, if Rev Pro was the premier English promotion right now, then Progress would definitely be number two. And them joining with an American powerhouse like Defy is going to do crazy things for the indie scene, because now it opens up both rosters to both scenes. So you look at the people that have came through Progress, like your Pete Dunnes and your Gunthers, your Will Ospreys, then Defy. You've got Nick Wayne, Christopher Daniels, and then a slew of like all your AEW who's who's that were indie guys, your Moxleys and your Eddie Kingstons and some of all those guys.
The Librarian, I think. The Librarian.
Yeah. The Librarian.
Do you remember him? I don't know if he was the actual delight. I don't know if that was his title, but remember he had like the bookcase.
I forget.
He had the book. Do you remember?
I'm picturing him, but I can't. I can't put a name to face. It's not Leva Bates though. It's not Blue Pants.
No.
it's the other guy.
No, but literally, he had like a book. He had like a textbook, and he would hit people with it when the ref wasn't looking, and then he'll actually give them a paper cut. It was like one of my favorite things, like back in the early like 2018s, dude. It was like,
So the Defy Progress stuff, man. I like when these already bigger indie promotions join together, because it gives you start giving you viable options for who that number three promotion could realistically be. And two big promotions that already have, you know, Defy's on local TV on the West Coast, Progress has a UK TV deal. Like, so these are guys, we were talking earlier, the difference between an independent and a big guy is that TV deal. And some of these guys are getting primed spots
for putting up big time fights for those available TV slots, even if they're not major USA TV deals. But you know, TNA showed that even on Access, you can still be a viable, you can be a viable contender. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, what was the promotion that it was a year or maybe a year or two ago where Moxley had a match with Will Ospreay?
Wrestling Revolver.
Was that Wrestling Revolver? Yeah. And
I'm pretty sure it was.
They made a lot of noise just by them doing a string of matches like that, you know, doing like some New Japan wrestlers and AEW wrestlers.
You know who runs that promotion?
Who?
Shout out to Sammy Callahan.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. Wrestling Revolver is his outfit. Yeah.
All right. Shout out.
Him and Phil Stamper are the two guys running that. Phil is a super cool dude. But yeah, Sammy Callahan is the, you know, the man holding the pencil, as they say.
Yeah. No, that was cool because I caught that late at night at like a 12 a.m. But but it was cool. It was cool to see, you know.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, you talk about the number three spot. Like, I mean, like right now, I guess you could kind of consider what TNA is the number three spot.
Yeah, I give it to TNA.
I would almost by default give it to TNA because they're the only ones, again, with a viable cable TV spot. And Access is not even a big TV spot, but they're still on syndicated cable. You know what I mean? Yeah.
I mean, they've kind of always held that third big promotion. You know what I'm saying? Whether it be WWE and New Japan or WWE ROH New Japan, you know, it's kind of always teeter-tottered between that. And every time I think they're gonna like shut down, they're still around, you know? So yeah, shout out to them.
No, they're the Jazz from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air of wrestling promotions. Just when you think they're going away, they come right back. Oh,
man. No, but okay. So another big, I don't know whether to call this a winner or loser, right? I'm going to ask you guys, since we didn't get a chance to talk about it, the heel / Hollywood Rock coming back on SmackDown.
Okay.
Okay. Now, I liked everything that he was doing, right? You know, talking about, you know, Mormons and them having multiple wives, calling fat kids with herpes, you know what I'm saying? Not to say that the two and two are intertwined together, but it just happened to be that one kid, I guess, whatever. But like, but the thing is, like, I like the heel version that he's doing, right?
Yeah.
But my only thing with it is that it's still very much like Rock, mm-hmm. right? Like what I mean by that, it's still like, okay, he's going to hit you with the it doesn't matter type. Then he's going to hit you with something to the crowd. Then he's going to hit you with some whatever joke. And then he's going to hit you if you smell. Like, even though it's heel, it's still very much in the same routine. Like Hollywood Hulk Hogan. He was still doing Hulk Hogan, but just with an angrier tone.
Yeah, more like a condescending, cocky, like, demeanor to it.
Yeah. And
my only thing. My only critique, and these are
nitpicks. Yeah, nitpicks, that's what they are. They're not saying that like we as a whole don't like it. We're just nitpicking. Just nitpicking.
I will personally let it slide this past Friday because you know it was his introduction of joining the Bloodline. But if you're gonna join the Bloodline, I need you to rock Bloodline aesthetics. You know, I need you to have the shirt or have his own Rock Bloodline shirts. He needs to start wearing exclusively.
You were feeling the Versace vest?
Yeah.
That he probably got from the swap meet? That he probably got from the swap meet?
Okay,
the flea market? From the flea
market? Incorporate the Versace vest with some Bloodline red, you know? Like,
You know, make the connection. Make the connection.
Yeah, yeah. Do
Bloodline adjacent. Dance,
you know? There you go. Yeah.
Connect the dots, you know?
It'd be weird though. I can't see Rock wearing sneakers though. That'd be kind of the weirdest thing.
I think I have seen him wear J's before.
But not like how they be doing it though. Not like how the squad, the Bloodline be doing it.
They should do a full on segment where they go to like a sneaker store and Roman.
And they dress the Rock?
And they do sneaker
shopping with the Rock?
Yeah, sneaker shopping with The Rock, and then they do the what they did with Tia Hale.
What's his first shoe?
And Chase what? You do the whole Disney thing where he comes out with different fits, and like, then he comes out again. Like, yes, and he comes out with the last one. Everybody's giving the thumbs up. That's what I want to see.
Oh, what were the red and black Jordans? Were they the Jordan 13s, the high tops where they had the red and black accents, and the Air Jordan logo was in black?
They had a bunch of
the red.
But yeah, so like the one that a lot of people like is the Air Jordan 1, right? The black and red. And then there's the Air Jordan 11, which is like the patent leather, and then the sole is red. And then there's the Air Jordan 4, same concept. Top black, middle white, and then red bottom. So it's like any one from 1 to 14 is like a popular black and red color.
Honestly, I think the one that everyone usually universally just like isn't behind are the twos, the Jordan twos, are the ones that are, those are the ugly.
And that's the one that Rock would pick.
Yeah. that would be the one he'd pick.
I was hoping that we would bring this up tonight because I thought of this analogy the other night, and BotchBots wasn't the show to bring it up on. People are like, The Rock is out there doing the same old shit that he did from the 90s, right? And this is the way I described it to somebody, and they were like, "That of course, that makes perfect sense." And I was like, Biggie Smalls, one of the greatest rappers of all time, without question, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
It's like The Rock, right? Now you fast forward to 2024. Biggie couldn't get on a track with Kendrick. You know what I mean? Like the evolution is different. You know what I mean? Rock is he's a GOAT. There's no question about it. But what he's doing in 2024 has to evolve past what he was doing in the 90s. The game's not the same. It doesn't take away from the fact that he's GOATed, but you can't come out 30 years later spitting the same bars that you did on people that you've already buried. You know what I mean? It almost comes – you're the GOAT, but it almost comes across as lazy. You're not Bruce Springsteen. Don't play the same shit for 40 years and get away with it. Like, come on.
Yeah.
That's two music genres in one spit.
Dude, look at the bug. Go ahead, chef. Cooking right now. Will's marinating. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, basting.
with the culinary,
just throwing various culinary terms out now. You guys are just trying to put as many as you can in there.
That should be the theme of today's episode. Get all the
just cooking.
Puns.
That's the episode's gonna call just cooking. No, but no, yeah, okay. You're 100% right. You're 100% right. But my thing is like The Rock is still involved, right, in entertainment. So my thing is like he should know what is hitting in today's type of promo, right? Because like okay, everyone knows The Rock, but there's tons of people that are like, isn't that the guy from that movie where he had like an amputee leg? You know,
wasn't that the dude who was just in Black Adam?
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? Like that's the thing. That's how some people don't know The Rock. Because all they know is Dwayne Johnson. You know what I mean? Yeah, we're reaching that cusp of that generation. Well, people don't remember the Attitude Era. Some of these kids that are 22, 23, 24 years old were born after the Attitude Era.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they learned about Stone Cold Steve Austin in a history book.
Yep.
Like,
crazy. Yep. Crazy. Yeah. Crazy to think about.
Oh, I mean, that I lived that. I mean, Natalie read... Literally, I read a book about Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yeah. Wow. Crazy. All right. No, I'm with you there. I also had The Rock as a winner, mostly just because he embraced the heel turn, joined the Bloodline. Yeah. Maybe he's infiltrating the Bloodline. We don't know what the fuck he's doing. Like, I'm just going to sit back, kick back, and just
enjoy
the ride.
I will say, what will make me a huge, huge fan if this Friday, if he comes out, well, it probably won't happen this Friday, but the next time he comes out, he brings back the Rock concert.
And
he does something about Cody. That would be like the ultimate right there.
All right. I like that. For me, I had winners. Everyone that finished qualifying for the final spots of the Elimination Chamber all those competitors are winners because obviously you get an opportunity at that respective division's world title. Mm-hmm. You have Logan Paul and Kevin Owens that took the final two spots for the men's. Unfortunately, RIP Dom didn't get that spot. You have Tiffany Stratton, Naomi, and that's it. No one else qualified for the women. It's a fantastic five women elimination chamber. Can't wait. There was no battle royal on Raw. No one returned. I'm glad this imaginary person, it has a good, clean bill of health. But nothing else happened. Shout out to Tiffany and Naomi. You know, they scrapped it out there with Becky Lynch and Bianca Belair and Liv Morgan. And that was it. That's all the winners.
Okay. Yeah.
You think they're going to lean into a surprise on Saturday? With there being that vacant spot, because you can't run a six-person match with five people, obviously. Right, so right. Will they do something in the pre-tape? But you would think with it being pre-taped, we would already have the leak out.
Yeah.
That whoever won that sixth spot. Do you think they're just going to try to surprise us and throw a curveball out there?
We'll see.
Who could it be if they did?
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Some, you know, gem formation type of person, you know? I can see it happening. I can see them trying to like keep it on the wraps, and then all of a sudden, you know, there she is
for the pop. It's a big show, you know what I mean?
Oh, like, dude, this is a big show. Yeah, Perth. We kind of been saying that Perth has been kind of like the one that's going to be a tiny like party before WrestleMania.
Yeah. You know what? I'm low key. I think a lot of people are sleeping on, and they don't realize how big of a fucking party it's going to be.
What's that?
France for Backlash.
That's gonna be a
throwdown event.
Yes, yes.
Like, yeah.
That would be just a thing to go to. You know, you talk about mm-hmm. like these WrestleManias and all this, but I don't know, having to go there in France with the European crowd, because they just nonstop, you know, chant. You know.
Yeah. You remember it's Wembley with All In.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Chance the entire 4-hour show. That's the way it's going to be when Backlash goes to Paris. Like, it's going to be nuts. Those European football fans are ravenous.
Oh, yeah.
They've done a great job with the past 2 years of selecting a host city, or I guess in this case, the host country for Backlash. Mm-hmm. Last year in San Juan, Puerto Rico, fantastic crowd. Bad Bunny, best entrance of the year by far.
Without a doubt.
The crowd, you know, chanting Peso Pluma to Dominic.
All that stuff. And then now you have France hosting Backlash. It makes me excited for a B-level pay-per-view that otherwise...
Dude, right?
You just wouldn't care. And that's one thing they're doing. Even with Elimination Chamber, in past years, like, yes, the Chamber is a spectacle in of itself. And that might be a draw. Like, they used to rely on the gimmicks of these pay-per-views for the matches and whatnot. But now it seems like they're relying on, okay, these B-level pay-per-views, let's take them across the pond somewhere. Let's take them across other borders and see these fandoms that don't usually get a chance to attend get a pay-per-view for themselves. And then that energy, that atmosphere, that environment, then it enhances the prestige, the enjoyment, and just like the pay-per-view all around, overall in general. Like, that's one of the best things that they've done in Triple H era of PLEs is, okay, a B-level pay-per-view, we're gonna do it here. The crowd's gonna go ape shit and the people at home are gonna go ape shit.
Right.
It's a great way to make, as you said, a B-list pay-per-view feel like an A-level event by making it a spectacle. Mm-hmm. Take it to a crowd that's hungry because they've never had a chance to get a live show of that size, or take it to a crowd. Yeah. You know, last year when they went to Montreal for Elimination Chamber, it had been so long since Canada had a pay-per-view. That place blew the lid off of it for the Elimination Chamber.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, going somewhere like France for Backlash, I said after Puerto Rico, I was like, they have to put a pay-per-view every year there. That place was ruckus. Oh, yeah. And I've always stood by the Puerto Rican territory. That country knows how to party all the way back. I'm glad they don't throw 9-volt batteries and C batteries at the workers anymore. But, like,
You know, yeah. Puerto Rico's always been a party for wrestling.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's a wrestling country. It's a wrestling country.
For sure. 100%.
And also the thing too, with these PLEs being in the specific areas, these specific countries, like you mentioned it with Montreal, the place was a frenzy. And that also added with the fact that you booked Sami Zayn in events versus Roman Reigns for the title. And then it wasn't the main events, but it was the quote unquote main event. You have Bad Bunny, the biggest star right now in that country, versus the top Puerto Rican star in WWE. Like as a pro wrestler, you have two Boricuas out there. You then get all the pops by getting out Carlito and Savio Vega. LWO shows up. Yes, they're not Puerto Rican, but still Latinos regardless, you know?
Yeah.
Latinos stand up. And it was all good, like building around all of these like wrestlers and using that for the advertisement and the promotional stuff for this pay-per-view. And they're doing the same thing with Elimination Chamber. They booked and built this pay-per-view solely on Rhea Ripley's back.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Shout out to Mommy. You know what I'm saying?
Shout out to Mommy.
And when they go to France, are we expecting to get La Resistance to come back as well? I'll be hopeful.
Not unless Rene Dupree comes out with Fifi, his
French poodle. Dude, come on. That's the only way.
Yeah. The French phenom.
Two things I want to go through before we do fast track is that, okay, Cody and Drew had a freaking dope ass match.
Yeah.
Except for the end. Shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, listen, they need to stop doing this whole thing with unveiling and taking AJ Styles' gimmick with flipping the hood. All right. Like, we already know who it is. Okay. We know it's one of y'all. All right.
Oh, man.
Please just stop doing AJ Styles' gimmick before AJ Styles get really upset, you know?
That's true. I mean, he's already kind of been moody.
Oh, dude. Yeah. He'd be talking down to Mia Yim. You know what I'm saying? He'd be so mad that Anderson and Gallows are on NXT now, you know?
He bitch slapped Carl Anderson on SmackDown so hard, he sent them to Florida. Elemental.
I'm leaning into the Tama Tonga theory.
I was gonna get there. Yeah. Well, let's talk about it now. Okay, let's talk about it now. So, like, okay. I also want to say Jay and Gunther had a dope ass match as well.
For sure.
I also want to say I have to give a small percentage on the loser side to Jay, right? And I'll say this. Like, when it looked like he was going to win and he kept doing spears, the last spear, he just didn't put enough on it, right? That kind of made me feel like, oh, he ain't going to really win this match, or he ain't going to give a
fit.
Yeah, like, who does a spear? Like, he just did a soldier nudge. You know what I'm saying? Who does a spear?
Trying to square dance with the gun.
Yes. Yes, dude. And like, to me, like, I was like, yo, like, you were doing so well and making this believable. Like, now you just like kind of giving it off. Like, yeah, you ain't going to win, you know?
So ever since Adam Copeland, formerly known as Ed, started spearing people, and I could see that, you know, I didn't look the best every single time, but he still win matches.
Yeah.
And I used to see Jonathan Cena hit people with the STF and leave like a whole real estate area of breathing room for their necks when applying it. I like to suspend my disbelief and like not look at the logistics of it and the realism. So in my mind, I'm like, oh my God, he hit him with the spear. Never mind that it didn't look like a natural spear at all. And looked like he just softly tapped him on the mat.
Dude, yeah.
I was fully in full suspense of disbelief in the entire moment. I fully immersed myself in the match. So when he went ahead and hit the splash, I was anticipating shenanigans because obviously there was shenanigans in the opening contest.
Yeah.
But once I got the whole Jay, the way Jay lost the match by having Jimmy ring the bell, the referee getting distracted, it didn't look like Gunther was going to kick out, even though he probably was going to. It was a great way to not make Gunther look bad. It was a unique way to do the whole reveal and interruption instead of just coming in with a super kick, you know?
Yeah. My only thing is, where does Jay's stock go now? now that he's, it looks like he's going to WrestleMania without a title, right? And he's probably just gonna have a feud with his brother. Probably. Like, to me, they were kind of building him as a guy that kind of could like lead, you know, with the IC title. Like, does his stock go down a little bit? Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Will. Sorry.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. I think that building with his brother, though, is at a WrestleMania size event, that feud for the Usos for the first time going head to head will be as big as if there was a title involved.
Okay.
And as much as we don't, I'm not hating on Jimmy, you know, but like, it's obvious that Jay is the bigger star right now. So when they go head to head at Mania, it obviously looks like Jay will inevitably get that win. And when he does, I feel like that's when you push Jay to take an IC title, a US title, put him in contendership for Money in the Bank or something like that. It doesn't have to be a now in this moment thing. Let that story build a little bit more with him and Jimmy, and then use that catapult at Mania beating his brother as your catalyst to going for Gunther or whoever comes out of the with the US title, be it Logan Paul or an LA Knight or whoever else gets it. You know what I mean?
For sure.
Gotcha.
That definitely feels like the satisfying conclusion to Jay's quote unquote story, not to overuse the phrase because everybody's using it nowadays. However, I will rebuttal Will with the stereotypical trope in WWE pro wrestling where the heel brother that turns on the babyface brother usually gets the win. Matt Hardy beat Jeff Hardy. I forget what was the other example. I think Bully Ray got the dub over D-Von, or
did Nikki beat Brie?
Nikki beat Brie, yes. So usually when it comes to the siblings, whoever turns gets the rub. Right. And if you're looking at who necessarily needs that win more so, you just made all the case for why Jay is the bigger star. So he could give more of a rub to his twin brother, making him a more established singles competitor over on the opposite brand. Should he have this to reign over his brother, you could always circle back to this match at a SummerSlam or another pay-per-view, maybe run it back at Backlash for payback. You know, get payback if you want to go real literal with it. And that's something you could do. This is something in Jimmy's a feather in Jimmy's cap would be, hey, I beat my brother at WrestleMania. Because that might be the biggest milestone in his career. No shade. I'm sorry, but I'm calling a spade a spade. Jay's probably going to get that IC title down the line. I see him be a multiple high singles achieving superstar. And right. I don't know if that's the same for Jimmy.
So, but looking at it again, just a quick rebuttal, just to go back one more time. Okay. Heading into Mania, all signs point to Cody winning. All signs point to us getting Roman and Rock at some point. All signs point to this eventually being the end of the current Bloodline story, probably within the calendar year of 2024. If the Bloodline is dissolving, why take away Jay's already cataclysmic climb by having him take an L on the biggest stage of them all so that Jimmy, as we've described, I'm not quite there yet as a solos competitor to take that shine away for nothing, because once the Bloodline goes away, Jimmy doesn't have anything backing him up now.
Yeah. That's very true. And I forgot that aspect of the bigger, wide aspect of the story within the Bloodline, the grand scheme of things. Yes. You know what? Then that would make more sense, especially if they book all the Bloodline matches on the second night of WrestleMania. You have Solo lose to Randy Orton, or whoever he faces. You have Jimmy lose to Jay, and then obviously Roman maybe gets screwed over by Rock, or Rock isn't enough to help him retain the title.
It's those catalysts, those small things happening that make the big picture. It's the small domino that's an inch tall that eventually pushes over the Empire State Building.
Is that going to happen, you know, Randy versus Solo? Is that...
So, because Randy needs a high profile match. And
no, I would like that for Solo.
Who better than
Solo? I would like that for Solo, to be honest.
Why build him up so highly and have him just like murder John Cena's throat?
Yeah.
then than
Ash. That was a great way to put that.
And Solo's a safe worker, so why not for Randy to come back with a big major match to go with somebody against Solo?
You know what I'm saying? Now you don't have to worry about any foot fungus because he's covered up his feet, you know, so he's wrestling in boots. So all
no athlete's feet on your face, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, no turf toe, you know? It's all good stuff.
It's all good stuff. It's all good stuff. You know, I do have to give a loser on NXT. You know, I didn't see no Osborne Thea thought, you know, saying date. There was no date.
Thea's a loser.
Yeah, yeah. Riley's a loser for not fixing whatever he needed to fix.
Okay, so to play devil's advocate here for Riley Osborne, because I am a little smitten with him as Thea Hale is, so I will come to his defense here.
Okay, okay.
The way Thea Hale described the dates, it sounded like he was trying to be a gentleman and engage in conversation and take personal interest in her, at like just as a person, try to get to know her as any person, any what? Man would go out right, to right. do with any other individual that they're interested in the dates. She got bad advice from JC. She took it a little too literal. He opened the door for her and she said, I can open my own door. I don't need a man to open the door for me. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's, you get that kind of energy on the first date, you might be like, oh, okay, let's
tiptoe
around here. You know, you're trying to talk to the person you're on the date with, and they're on their phone the whole time, and they don't care. Mm. Trying to make it seem like they're not so easily
available. Not giving you the proper attention.
Yeah, if that's the energy I give you on the date, just and or will, how would you personally feel? Like, oh, it doesn't seem like Vince is that interested in me. Maybe I should explore other avenues and other options.
Yeah, I might cry and say that this is the worst date I've ever had in my life.
Yeah, maybe Riley Osborne had his heart broken on Valentine's Day because Thea Hale received bad advice from JC Jane.
That's horrible. You're right. You know what? An L. For sure, an L. Yeah. So Fast Track, right? I did catch up with all the New Japan and CMML Fantastic Mania, which was all dope. Rocky Romero, Akira, Sobrano Jr., Titan. Those are just to name a few that were I thought were like huge standouts from the actual thing that happened. You know, moving forward, I hope they do more of these New Japan CMML and then maybe incorporate them into their bigger shows like Wrestle Kingdom. You know what I'm saying? You know, Triple Mania has theirs too. So I hope that they could actually incorporate them into like their bigger shows so that like more people could see both sides of the wrestlers, because it seems like they have really, really a good working relationship right now. And kind of like what you were talking about before with the whole Prague and Defy thing, like, yeah, when two companies work together, it just profits just the wrestling in general. It just makes it better. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It helps the algorithm and find new watchers.
He almost got it.
Facts.
I had to spin it a different way too. But
Okay.
But yeah, for me, I enjoyed what I saw. You know what I'm saying? So shout out.
Saying you had to alter the recipe a little bit.
Listen, this guy right here. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm
saying? I see what you did there.
A little bit of sazon. I had to add a little bit more sazon. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So news and rumors, right? So, okay.
Yeah.
So during the Iron Claw screening in Brazil, right? Shout out to our homies in Brazil. We're pretty big in Brazil. They had, all of a sudden, during the Iron Claw screening, there was an impromptu wrestling match that happened. I guess people got so excited that they decided to do their own wrestling match while the movie was playing.
Understandable.
Yeah, I mean, who knows what it was for, you know what I'm saying? Maybe it was for whatever, who's buying beer at the taqueria, you know what I'm saying, after this movie, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. This is a big thing, and I know it's been going around on Twitter. The O'Shea Jackson interview.
Oh, yes.
You know, mainly AEW. At first, I didn't think it was AEW, but then, you know, I guess it was AEW fans, you know, him going to the show. And basically him saying, we all been in this position where we may not know who that wrestling fan, who that wrestling person is. And then the sweaty ass fan will kind of approach you as if you should know who this person is, right? Well, then instead of like, you know, trying to put me down, just tell me who this person is and why should I care, instead of trying to like bring me down. Like I didn't graduate from Wrestling Fan University or some shit like that, you know? Yeah. So my peoples too. First of all, if you don't know who O'Shea Jackson is, that's on you. You know what I'm saying? That's Ice Cube's son. So, right. The other thing too is like, this is the problem too in the IWC or just wrestling fans in general. Like, we're all there trying to enjoy the same thing. And if somebody comes out that we don't know, like, just tell them who that is. Oh, there's such and such and such, right? Don't be like, oh, you should know that she was Blue Pants in NXT and now she's here and blah, blah, blah. Like, yo, what if I wasn't watching that? You know what I'm saying? What if I'm watching, you know what I'm saying, CMML, or if I'm watching New Japan? I don't know who that person is, you know?
Facts. 100%. And I mean, it's kind of hard to keep up because, you know, like there's a Místico that comes out or a Sin Cara and you're like, is that Místico number three or is that Sin Cara number 3.5? You know, it's like so many people, and especially with Lucha Libre, so many people don the same mask and gimmick and it just gets passed over and passed over. It's like, is that this person? Like for the longest time, I thought La Parca was the legit La Parca, but that's not the OG La Parca that was in WCW. That's LA Park.
LA and Park, I'm like, wait. Right.
I'm like, who the fuck is LA Park? I thought LA Park was the knockoff one. And then now I'm like, oh no. You know, and it's one of those things where like, if I were to ask, some people say, how could you not know that's La Parca? Obviously, he lost his title because he left in AAA, and then they owned the copyright of La Parca, so he had to change it. And he's from LA, so that's why he's LA Park, because you know he really enjoyed his time in this one park in LA, and that's where he took
the
name, you know, go into deep dive, and it's like, look, Will's the kind of wrestling fan that explores all kind of avenues with the indie wrestling, but he's the type of wrestling fan that I feel comfortable approaching. Like, hey, I don't know.
Yes.
He's going to be like, well, this is why he's, this is his story. This is why he's here. This is why you should root for him. This is why this guy's cool. You should check out this match or check out this match or check out this specific work of his. Just like when you're trying new food. You know, Will's the type of guy that's like, I think this recipe is perfect for you. You'll really enjoy the texture. And I don't know.
I love you, Vince, so much. You don't have to put me over that much, but I love it. I love it.
But Will, you being a fan and you being these things, I'm pretty sure you have been the person to tell somebody or you've heard this happen, right? Like what is your experience like, you know what I'm saying, when you see things like this?
I say it a lot on TikTok when I make my videos there. I say, nobody knows everything, okay? So starting on one end of that spectrum, don't be a know-it-all. Don't be a sweat. Don't be a try-hard. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, the fact of the matter is if somebody doesn't know something, don't look at it as an opportunity to be superior. Look at it as an opportunity to educate another wrestling fan. Yes, give them the base information they need to be successful, who this person is and why they need to care about him. You don't need to give them the synopsis of, you know, their entire reign and, you know, they held the whatever title for 760. Nobody cares. Give them just, if you have the knowledge. One of my least favorite things wrestling fans do in this area is when they gatekeep.
Yes. Oh
my God. And that frustrates the hell out of me because it's like, why would you gatekeep something that's a dying breed? Wrestling fans, you know, we're at a peak right now, okay? But you think about the fact that 4 to 5 million people a week watch wrestling. Whereas 20 years ago, 12 million people were watching wrestling. Mm-hmm. And that's the combination of all the shows. You know what I mean? Like, Raw and SmackDown put up great numbers, but they're putting up half the numbers they were doing 20 years ago. Why are you gatekeeping a dying community? That doesn't make any sense to me.
Right.
I mean, O'Shea just kind of like put it out there specifically. And it wasn't even like him shitting on AEW or whatever. That was my biggest ish. It's like, whether it's WWE fans, AEW fans, TNA fans, whatever, wrestling fans in general, like, you guys got to stop being so critical or so defensive and so uppity when someone's being critical of the product. And look, I know I take a lot more stabs at AEW and they catch a little bit more strays than WWE does, but that's because right now WWE's easily digestible and we just want AEW to easily go down our gullets and just enjoy the palate. You know, we want a palate cleanse from WWE, and that should be AEW, but it hasn't really been that lately. And all O'Shea was saying is like, hey, I don't know this guy, maybe a video package, maybe build up this debut, build up this person, instead of just having the announcer just say who this person is as they make their way down the ring. Because you see a lot of that. And look, it's just constructive criticism. If you can't take it, maybe you're the problem.
Oh, listen to you. I'm with you. You want wrestling to be, you know, gut enjoyable. You want it to be digested, you know, easily. You don't want it to be hard where it's like sunflower oil or, you know, canola oil where it's like not gut friendly. I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying. You want it to be fiber where it could take the nutrients and make it, you know, something and we could build on it. I feel you, dog. But yeah, it just wrestling fans, just come on out. Like, we all should be making each one enjoy the same thing that we're enjoying, right? Like, it would just be a weird community if we're all just like shitting on each other for the same reasons why we like the same sport. You know, like, it doesn't make no sense. Okay, so the other thing too, Dwayne Johnson is set out to make a biopic on Ric Flair. I don't know if you saw this. There's some trailers going around. My question is that I think it's because there's a lot of hype around the Iron Claw and a lot of people want to kind of do their own version of Iron Claw right now. Also, it's very shameful that they're not nominated for anything in the Oscars too, by the way.
Bull spit.
Right.
It's bull spit.
And so my question to you guys is, who would be Ric Flair? Who would you cast as Ric Flair? Chris Hemsworth?
Well, he was supposed to be
Hulk. He was supposed to be Hulk Hogan, right?
That yeah. Work out.
You know what? I don't wish this upon him because I love him so much in his work with the MCU. But I could see him pull off, especially in 80s flair, Tom Hiddleston.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He
auditioned at Thor, a blonde Tom Hiddleston.
I could kind of see that because he's very like flamboyant on Loki, like the show Loki.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh yeah.
So I can see that. I was
Loki
thinking
he is the dirtiest player in the game.
Yeah,
that's true. That's true.
Hell no, I like that. I was thinking. I know he's a little bit older, but maybe Brad Pitt.
Okay.
If because I'm just the older player. Yeah. I don't know if he can go all flamboyant. Like, Tom Hiddleston is a perfect pick, I think. That's a good one. What's that dude's name that was just a recent? He was Willy Wonka in the new Willy Wonka.
Oh, I don't know the guy's name, but I know exactly who you're talking about.
Yeah.
Hold up. It's Googleable.
I forgot he's really good because, like, you know, he's really flamboyant as Willy Wonka. So I'm thinking of whoever can play flamboyant is probably going to be the
Timothy
Chalamet.
Chalamet.
The Tia Silent. Gotcha.
I can see that.
Okay. I like that. I like those options.
So the next one we got is, and this is just kind of like a whatever for our hockey fans out there. In Fayetteville, Fayetteville Marksman. They decided to do like a WWE theme for their hockey jersey, so they came out as Cactus Jack. So I don't know if you saw this.
Yeah, I saw these.
You saw this? Yeah, like, so they're wearing flannels, they're wearing the Cactus Jack shirt, and you know how hockey players, they have those high socks? So their socks are Socko, you know what I'm saying? So
that's dope. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Were like their skates leopard print?
No, I don't think their skates were leopard print, but they were marked up and like battered and everything. So like,
that's dope.
Yeah, nice. I thought shout out to them. That's really cool.
That was cool.
And then the last thing, which kind of leads into the our sweaty session, Disney just dropped, or they just dropped a week ago, the X-Men 97 trailer, right? Mm-hmm. Which basically is basically picking up from, you know, the last episode from back in the day, right? For me, I'm just going to talk about just a little before we go to the sweaty session. For me, this was like one of my favorite shows next to Batman the Anime Series and Spider-Man the Anime Series. Like most of us in the Get Your Crew grew up during this time. Like we were like straight up 90s Fox kids, you know, when this happened. So, and, you know, me and a couple of us, you know, were also reading the comics at that time too. So seeing all that happen on the show was dope. And for them to pick it up now is also dope. I also want to talk about like how some people said that they didn't like the voice of Wolverine. Like it's the same dude. It's just like now with the microphones and enhancement, like, and he has aged. Obviously, right. He's not going to sound like how he was like back in the day, yeah. But it's the same dude. Just give it some time. Give it some time. Yeah, but exactly. But you guys, what were your, did you guys watch X-Men 97? I'm assuming yes from the reaction.
Yeah, I watched the trailer. I loved it. Growing up watching the original animated series, you're absolutely right. Like, I was that kid. In 1997, I was 12 years old. Like, okay. I was, yeah. You know, the very, the long-awaited and loved key demographic. Like, that was me then. And now they're playing for that nostalgia factor to, one, get the adults that grew up watching it to watch again, but also to get the kids into it. You know what I mean? So it's this blend of both generations. So it's a fucking marketing genius, man, because I'm going to watch it. I'm probably going to talk about it on more than one show. Mm-hmm. Like, it's going to be great. I'm a huge X-Men fan. I was always a bigger X-Men fan and than Avengers until these most recent run of movies came out.
Yes.
Around the time of Captain America Civil War was when I was like with the Russo brothers coming in and retaking everything and revamping how the MCU looked. I was like, okay, let's start looking into the Avengers side of Marvel because I had always been a diehard X-Men fan with the comics and everything. 100%. Like that was my jam.
I think that I could tell right now the three of us were all of us were more X-Men fans. Mostly all of us were all of X-Men fans before not being like the straight Marvel characters. Go ahead, Vin.
Only had my soul knowledge. Like, look, I unfortunately did not get the luxury or even like the ability to go and get like comic books because like I just didn't knew about any comic book stores around me and stuff like that, so I never actually read the comics. My exposure to Marvel and that universe was through the Fox animated universe. You had Iron Man, you had Hulk, you had X-Men like you guys mentioned, then you had Spider-Man created that multiverse because he saw you saw Punisher, you saw Daredevil, I think Prowler was in there.
Cat? Remember Black Cat? Motherfucking Blade was in there?
Yeah, they had the first Spider-Verse in there as well. And then you had the Secret Wars there as well because you had the Fantastic Four. So all of those characters were introduced. Then the Fox movie universe. And then obviously with Toby with the Sam Raimi Spider-Verse as well. That's where it was introduced. It wasn't until like later on in like the Disney era when they tried to push some of the Avengers in cartoons, and I would see them in other animated versions of Spider-Man. I'm like, oh, okay. So that's like their Justice League. So I knew about Justice League, but I never really knew about the Avengers like that. So until they became prevalent with the movies,
right?
MCU. So yeah, I'm all for it. I love it. I like them just like trying something different, taking a break from their live action stuff and focusing on something cool, some nostalgia. My only gripe, and this is a nitpick, it seems like they might have given Rogue an ass reduction surgery between then and now. And I know the internet is up in the uproar over it. I just want some answers. I need some explaining.
Listen. Sometimes them drawings made you think. Like every time when they had Storm calling out for the wind and for the rain, like, yo, what is this? What's going on here? But I think it's that time.
And now, sweaty session.
So this sweaty session was actually the idea from Will. the homie, you know, saying shout out. We were talking in there our so grab chat. This is a produced sweaty session by Will, the chef. We were talking, and he just, you know, we were just talking, and he said, yo, you know, Seth Rollins is like making comparisons. Cody's forming his own Avengers. Who would be like the Avengers for wrestling? I'm like, dude, like that lines up with the X-Men trailer that just came out. So why don't we just do like an Avengers? Who's an Avengers? If you want to throw in who's an X-Men, you could do that too. So who wants to go ahead?
Well, this your concoction.
Okay, I'm gonna start
recipe.
And the first one off my list is going to be a curveball out of left field because I'm not booking an Avenger. I'm booking one of Thanos' generals.
Oh,
right, okay, off the rip. Okay.
Okay.
Cole Obsidian, the dude from Infinity War with the big hook. He eventually gets his hand cut off from Doctor Strange's little swirly dude.
Yes.
Solo Sikoa. He's the tank. You know what I mean? He's that, oh shit, go handle business for me kind of guy from the Bloodline. So when we started doing this, I was like, okay, people are going to do Captain America. Good. People are going to do Iron Man. So I started looking. I was like, I'm going to get some deep cuts from the comic books and maybe something somebody's not going to do. So I'm going to start Cole Obsidian, Solo Sikoa, because he's the tank of the Bloodline.
No, you're right, because, you know, he kind of fucked up Doctor Strange in the movie, you know? So,
big time.
Yeah.
And then he came back later with the metal hand and shit and went over the Hulkbuster armor when Bruce couldn't get his the Hulk to come out. Like, right. So he was fighting him in Iron Man suit. Like, he put some stuff down. Yeah.
With the metal hand, with the metal.
Yeah, man, with that big metal hand.
Yeah.
All right.
I like that, man. Okay, so this is obvious here. If Cody is building the Avengers, there's only one leader of the Avengers. That's Captain America, obviously, with the aesthetic. He's the red, white, and blue, the stars and stripes. Cody has all of that. He's the perfect natural leader, obviously. That was foregone conclusion. Seth was making lobby stands like, hey, he's the one trying to join forces with him, saying he can be Cody's shield. Because he's Captain America. But who made Captain America's shield?
The Black Panther.
Tony Stark's father.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So
Seth
Rollins would be the Iron Man to Cody Rhodes' Captain America.
That's why I fucking love you, Vince. That's the only one that makes sense. And the analogy you used was perfect.
And there's more there. So not only is he Iron Man in this Cody Avengers team? He's also been one of the Iron Men in WWE. Like, he's been going on putting on performances. He's been one of the top guys. Just like Robert Downey Jr. held the MCU on his back, Seth Rollins has held Monday Night Raw and WWE on his back while he had to go out there and put on great matches. There's a little bit of a frenemy relationship between him and Cody, just like Steve Rogers and Tony Stark. He's the architect. Obviously, he's a very genius wrestler, genius character, and Tony Stark. And just like Tony Stark got a brilliant send-off at the end of Endgame, I think we're going to have a send-off for Seth at the end of WrestleMania.
His glasses are gonna go down the river. His glasses.
Yeah. Instead of his
heart is gonna be his glasses closing
or whatever. Yeah. No. It's just gonna be Seth like doing like a Joker laugh, and it's like,
oh damn. Okay. I like that. That was good. Okay, so for me, right, I decided to flip it, right? Kind of do like a what if thing. So, like, you know, what if they were women instead of the men, right? So for Captain America, obviously, what is Captain America's thing? He's his super strength, right? Bianca Belair fits that, right? Ooh. She's a leader, right? She's the best, you know, say EST, right? And then you got to think of Hulk, right? Hulk is what? Super strength, right? We don't know the full capabilities of Hulk because when he gets angry, he gets into his things, right? Jay Cargill. We don't know the full potential of Jay Cargill yet, but we know that she's been training really, really hard at the Performance Center, and we've seen her perform in the Royal Rumble. We know that she got the strength, right? Then you're gonna go to Scarlet Witch. Oh, not Scarlet Witch, Black Widow, right? She's kind of the intangible. She has every piece that you need to be Avenger, right? She also could be kind of a villain at some points because sometimes you don't know if you could trust her or not. I gotta go with Bailey. This new version of Bailey was kind of a team player, but then she also had her own objective, kind of like what Black Widow did, right? Thor, right? Thor, all about Thor is that, you know, Thor is looking to fight, looking to defend. That's everything that Becky Lynch is, the man. You know what I'm saying? She wants to back up what she says. She wants to fight anybody who wants to come after her title. That's kind of what she is, defending, what's the name of Thor's? Asgard, right? She wants to defend Asgard. So the Iron Man character was kind of tough, right? Because, you know, Iron Man and Captain America, they always have beef, right? They kind of have a frenemy thing, like you said, right? But who better than Sasha Banks to be Iron Man?
Ooh,
she's all about money. Tony Stark has the money, right? Sometimes be trusted, sometimes not be trusted, but you need her in the group, right? You need her in the group to get that extra push. So Sasha Banks is Iron Man. The one missing piece I couldn't figure out where to put was Charlotte. I couldn't think of where I could put her in.
Maybe Charlotte's not a, she's not an Avenger.
Oh no! I know what I just realized. No, I had her as Loki. I'm sorry, I had her as Loki.
Yeah, Charlotte is. I had her as Loki. Charlotte is Loki, or Charlotte is on my list as Proxima Midnight in Thanos' army.
Okay, okay, no,
that's yes.
Why don't we pivot onto that? Like,
go ahead, Will.
Okay, so a couple of my list: Charlotte, Proxima Midnight, the strong female general from Thanos' army. I was like, Charlotte is a great heel. I was like, she's not bloodline, but all of Thanos' kids were adopted anyways, right? The other one, the last one from Thanos' team, because I'm a nerd. So I went, you know, I looked at lists. I was like, I'm going to pick some people that people aren't doing. It's Ebony Maw, the eldest of Thanos' kids. Yeah. Who is too weak to physically manhandle you. So he uses his mind and his words, his telekinesis, obviously, to handle you instead. That's the wise man, Paul Heyman.
Oh, I knew you were going there. I was waiting for it.
Then I was like, all right, let's keep going with these deep tracks and these, you know, Squirrel Girl guys. Let's go back into the old comic books. At one point, Squirrel Girl was able to defeat Thanos on her own using her wit and her size and her speed and her agility. And of course, like 100 million fucking squirrels. All right. Alexa Bliss, the 5 feet of thunder Alexa Bliss, that perpetual underdog Alexa Bliss fighting from underneath that still somehow beat Flair for the women's world title Alexa Bliss. You know what I mean? Like, I felt like that was a good pick for Squirrel Girl.
Oh, no, that's perfect. And if you know what Squirrel Girl looks like.
Yeah, she was that, like I said, the perpetual underdog. And a lot of times that's where Bliss was. She was fighting from underneath. This one was one that I phoned in, and it was my Scarlet Witch pick. And I said, Becky Lynch, but come on. Like, it's an automatic go-to when you think about that fire red hair, the ability to rip you to shreds with her words or her power. Like in Becky's case, her physicality, Scarlet Witch's case, her actual powers. So I felt like those were two that were super easy to pin together.
I like that. Make the case I like that.
That Scarlet Witch is one of, if not the top powerful characters in the MCU. Becky is arguably one of the top performers, wrestlers, superstars in WWE. So it lines up. It lines up for sure.
Oh, 100%. You know what? I do, if we're going to go into the Marvel realm, I always thought Paul Heyman was MODOK. You know, that giant-ass head? That was...
in his own mind, at the end of Quantumania, he died in Avengers.
Yeah.
Still within the theme of everything.
Yes, dude. Yes.
So going back to my list, I have a few quick ones. I have a few more. I did a whole Avengers team. So we already hammered out Cody as Captain America and Seth as Iron Man. We need a Thor, and who's a good third man? And the good third man is Jey Uso. For the longest there, Thor was the main event, especially when Ragnarok came out.
Yeah.
Jey Uso right now is the main event. You need the guy. He needs to be chosen. He needs to be worthy by Mjolnir. And Jey Uso is worthy and chosen by the WWE Universe. And that's, we are his Mjolnir to go ahead and take down Thanos and the rest of the bloodline. So that's why I picked them. Also, Jay's very attractive, and so is Chris Hemsworth. So that's another one. For the Hulk, I needed a Hulk. Someone with anger problems, someone that's unstable, unpredictable, a little overpowered when it comes to combat. No better than the Apex Predator, Randy Orton, to be the Hulk. Because you never know. He could be on the team. Like, you saw that be a narrative within the War Games match. You know, yeah, you had Randy Orton, but he could always turn on you, just like the Hulk. He can just snap. And then now you have to worry about taking down the Hulk and Thanos. I needed a Black Widow, and I think the perfect one is someone that wears latex-looking spandex, a bit of a heartthrob, someone people underestimate, and I think that's Goldust. I think Goldust would make the perfect Black Widow. If you look at the gear that Scarlett Johansson wears, I think that Dustin Rhodes would definitely rock it.
I mean, it is a suit, same thing.
Leather it is suit, right? A spandex suit's a spandex suit, I guess.
Yeah. You need a Hawkeye. Unfortunately, Hawkeye is a character that not too many people care about. So I think
so. He's Dominic.
I walked into that one. I walked into that one. Touche. He's a character. You, he's a character that's probably on the lowest totem pole in terms of the OG Avengers, and that's QT Marshall.
QT Marshall.
Some people like QT Marshall. Some people like Hawkeye.
Okay.
Hawkeye gets along well with the rest of the Avengers. You know, so QT Marshall, lowest totem pole in the Nightmare family. Give it to Hawkeye. Same thing. You need a Spider-Man, right? Unfortunately, for a long time there, Spider-Man was stuck in another company with Sony. Couldn't really join the MCU. But once he did join the MCU, he was a young protege to Tony Stark. So I'm going to say that's MJF. I don't know why I want to give it an MJF. Mostly due to the like stuck in another company type thing, but
okay. Spider-Man. I see what you're saying.
If not, you can give it to Ricky Starks.
MJF was on my list. Okay. Here's where I put MJF. I put MJF on my list as Bucky, the Winter Soldier. You know why? Because he's Captain America. Cody Rhodes is Captain America. His best friend is Bucky, who fights for the other team. It's MJF. It makes perfect sense. You know what I mean?
Love that analogy.
MJF is the Winter Soldier. Plus, Winter Soldier is one of my favorites, and MJF is obviously, you know, like it was there. But MJF was also on my list as the Winter Soldier. Because I stick at WWE only, except for that one pick, because he was, you know, the other team.
I like that.
I like that. If I have to pick someone, too, for Spider-Man, I would say Chad Gable.
Chad Gable would be a good one.
Kind of has that, you know, that lovable nerdy type. But then, you know, when he gets down to it, he can fight with like
Nathan Frazier.
Nathan, I was just about
to say. He's on my list already because he was Seth Rollins' protege and all that.
Yeah. Nathan Frazier. Oh, that makes sense.
He hit the same Seth Rollins. Like, nah. That's not how this is going to go. Like, he hit the line.
Yeah.
See. So for Winter Soldier, I like where you went with it, Will. I didn't think of that. I wanted to see where I could put MJF. So I just kind of like settled with Spider-Man. But my Winter Soldier, I selected CM Punk. Hear me out. I like what Will said about MJF. Made great points, but let me rebuttal with my CM Punk Winter Soldier multiverse. He was way heated, problematic beef with Seth Rollins, who's our Iron Man. Why did Iron Man have beef with Winter Soldier? Killed his parents. What did CM Punk do? Try to kill his parents, his parent company, WWE, on his way out, not only with his shoot interviews, but also when he joined the opposition in AEW. Unfortunately, just like Bucky, CM Punk has that busted arm, So that just kind of adds credence to it. You know, he has this little like mechanical thing on his elbow right now. So, you know, messed up arm for both of them. You know, maybe that's how Bucky got his mechanical arm.
He messed up arm, no arm altogether. Yeah, I mean, they're kind of the same thing.
Winter Soldier started off as a villain, as a bad guy, slowly warmed people up to him.
Eventually his arm's got a big red star on it.
Yeah, just like CM Punk's gear. It's all there. But yeah, he started off as a bad guy. Now he's a good guy, just like CM Punk. You know, he started off as a bad guy, quote unquote. He's turned into this good guy for a lot of people. He was a bad guy over in AEW. Now he's in WWE. He's a good guy again. He won well over, apparently, which I'm happy to hear. And just like Captain America was petitioning and vying for Winter Soldier and trying to have his back, Cody Rhodes was trying to have CM Punk's back, trying to convince Seth Rollins' Iron Man to give him his chance. So there was that.
So, okay, so let me try to get this straight. So in this universe, Hydra is like the elite?
Yes.
Dope. Hell yeah. That makes complete sense.
Who's the Red Skull?
I mean, it has to be kind of Kenny Omega, would it be?
Would it be Kenny Omega?
Well, Red Skull was the de facto leader for a while, but then it went to what was the dude's name that was running SHIELD that was also running Hydra? Because they ended up being the same company. They ultimately ended up being the same company, kind of. What was and at least in the comics, that's how I remember it happening. You know, but I can't remember the
character. That dude who's a computer, who is that the guy? No.
Did he end up being a cyborg?
Because remember that was
he just transferred his consciousness into the computer. Zoa or something.
Maybe. But you know what I'm talking about though, right? Where SHIELD got they were ultimately like dissolved because they were like
infiltrated?
Yeah, infiltrated. That's the word I couldn't think of.
That's okay.
Words are hard sometimes, even for me.
Yeah, I forgot. I have to look back in my MCU catalog.
Got
to
go back through my nerdisms to figure it out.
Dude. For me, I know this has no connection. I couldn't make the connection like you guys, but I just thought that she would look cool as Winter Soldier, but I say Rhea Ripley.
Rhea Ripley would be a great pick.
Yeah.
One of mine was... shit, I lost it. I lost his name. Guardians of the Galaxy. The leader of the Guardians.
Star-Lord?
Yeah, Star-Lord, Peter Quill. Mm-hmm. LA Knight, he's loud, obnoxious, he's kind of dumb, but for some reason he's fucking super over with everybody. Like, that's Peter Quill. Like,
bro, that is Peter Quill.
That's 100% Peter Quill.
Is R-Truth Groot? Is R-Truth Groot?
I would say R-Truth would probably be, like...
The Collector?
R-Truth
the Collector?
No, he's the original Groot, where he's just like, I am Groot.
Yeah, yeah.
And okay, like he just finds him like you don't even speak Groot, but for some reason you still laugh at his lines and he only says three words. That's our truth. Like he doesn't really need to do anything and you think he's funny. Like that was Groot. Groot. Our truth is the original Groot from Guardians. Our truth
is Ryan Reynolds' Deadpool. He exists in his own little universe, makes everybody laugh.
Oh, that's a perfect pick.
That's smart. Yes.
He has his own little bestie with Logan Wolverine. What about Dave Bautista's Drax?
I think he would just have to be still Drax. I mean, that's the only character you can't change because he is.
Yeah, a wrestler. He would be Dave Bautista.
Yeah.
My Bruce Banner, I had Bobby Lashley for two reasons. Good. One, that's because good. Bruce Banner was a genius. Bobby Lashley can rip you to shreds with his words. He's an educated man, college, military, everything that goes into it. But also the other half, the Incredible Hulk, where he'll just rip you to shreds with his arms, limb from limb. And I have zero doubt in my mind that I'm not a small person, but Bobby Lashley could probably disassemble my body if he needed to with his bare hands. Yeah.
Facts.
In a consensual way, probably too.
Oh, it would be 100% consensual.
See, okay, I know we said Avengers, right? But
right.
The Defender still exists. So I kind of saw him as Luke Cage.
Fair.
Oh, I like
you know, Montez Ford fit that Luke Cage thing for Montez me. Ford that kind of younger, that's also, hothead that could just go if he had to.
Maybe Powerhouse Hobbs if we're Hobbs branching off, pick. You know.
Power Hobbs, yes. I like that one. That's a good one. Ooh. Oba Femi.
Oh, yeah, 1,000%. 1,000%. Well, wouldn't Obi Femi be like Killmonger? Oh, no, Killmonger. That's Carmelo Hayes. That's Carmelo Hayes right now, right?
Killmonger would definitely be Carmelo Hayes.
If not, Swerve Strickland.
Swerve would be a great Killmonger.
Yeah.
M'Baku is who I'm thinking for Obi Femi.
Oh, for Obi Femi. They do the same chant. M'Baku. They use the same chant.
Bald headed demon.
Yeah.
Favorite line of the movie. Oh man. Okay.
Okay. What about X-Men? For me, Wolverine, I thought Stone Cold, but now I'm kind of leaning towards CM Punk.
I mean, he did have the sideburns.
He did. When he came back, yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of using the same logic we did with the Avengers. Like, I would think Cyclops almost falls into that Cody Rhodes thing. So I immediately kind of went Seth Rollins. If we were looking at the X-Men, the dynamic of the, you know, the chaotic good versus the neutral good. But Wolverine also, like, this is going to sound, it's going to be a bit of a stretch. And not just because of the accent, but like that over the top personality where he makes himself the center of everything. Grayson Waller.
That's definitely a take.
Mm-hmm.
That's a dish that feels like it's being served cold.
I thought that Nyla Jax would be a perfect rogue only because she's known to put people in coma, and that's what rogue does when she drains their powers.
Fair.
What about Jade Cargill as Storm?
Oh yeah, like, dude, definitely. Yeah. I can see her as Storm, 100%.
Jade was my Captain Marvel. She's big, she's fast, she's strong. Like her or Bianca, either one would fit that role well as being the most powerful female competitor. So I had both of them in that Captain Marvel slot for that reason. Okay. Storm, however, is that automatic go-to. Zelina Vega for me as Storm.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Zelina Vega as Storm.
By default, Io Shirai has to be Jubilee by default.
Right. I mean, sparks fly when I see her, so.
Hey.
yeah.
But yeah, do you have some? Oh, what about Gambit? MJF?
Gambit? Ah, oh, well, that's obviously Duke Hudson because he used to play poker.
Not Duke Hudson. Hell.
Oh, man.
Yeah, oh, but yeah. But that was good. That was good, guys. I enjoy doing that. That was, obviously.
Thanks to Will for that great recipe.
Come on.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
That was dope. You know what I'm saying? Well, that was great, guys. But we can't end this episode without a few messages. Every day we preach, enjoy wrestling for what it is. Make wrestling fun. And I'm going to do that again. When a fan is coming up to you and they smell whatever type of odor and they're asking what type of wrestler is that they're watching, don't give them any shit. Just tell them, oh, you know what I'm saying? That's such and such. Help this person become a better wrestling fan like you are. Because in this community, we're all trying to learn and trying to love wrestling for the same reasons. We just like to watch.
Don't watch through a peephole. Watch consensually. Okay.
Go ahead.
Here's one. Find your why, guys. Especially for tough moments. It doesn't make them easier. It makes them worth it. Plans change. Always. But be like water. Find a way to flow. One more. Try more to appreciate efforts and action and less to emulate and idolize persona. And my very, very last one. spread more love than hate. Unless your love spreads STD, in which case you should wear protection and wait for any outbreaks to subside before engaging in sexual activity.
Well said.
Well said.
Well said. Don't yuck any yums. Different doesn't mean wrong. And always remember that you don't know if somebody's going through something. But at the end of the day, a hot dog is a sandwich, and Rey Mysterio should have never lost his mask to Kevin Nash.
I can co-sign that one.
Yeah, co-sign. Finger snaps. Good job, y'all. Good job. Yeah. So if you enjoy that, if you enjoy what we did here, you can find me at Get Your Podcast on Twitter, Get Your Podcast on Instagram. Also, Marks and Mics Thursday nights on YouTube. Poppy, where can they find you, homie?
Obviously on Instagram and Twitter. Socials are always the same, at SCS Vince. Linktree in the bio takes you to the archives for the past episodes of Straight Talk and what I'm dubbing un previews of basketball content until we get things more up and rolling. But I implore all of you guys to go head over to youtube.com/SCS Vince. Turn on the bell notification over there so you know when I drop a brand new video or a live stream over there. Like, comment, subscribe, all that fun stuff. March is right around the corner, which means Wrestling March Madness makes its third year in a row. We're going to be doing tag teams this year, so send me your favorite tag teams, and I'll include them as nominees for the bracket.
Dope. Where can they find you, Will?
First and foremost, I want to say thank you guys here at the Get Show Podcast for allowing me to hop in here and be part of that sweaty session. If you liked my shenanigans, check my Twitter, Instagram, at the Will Gray. You'll find my link tree. That'll have everything that I do for BotchBots and ChairShots, Rivet City Radio, Creation World, and Off the Top Media.
Excellent.
Yeah.
But I think it's that time to say goodbye.
Goodbye for now. Not goodbye forever. So with that being said, tents up, hits out, and watch for the chancla.
Come on now. That's right, y'all. Shout out to everybody in the calf. If you know, you know. Get out of here.
Dime. Go get your wap, bitches. Esto es lo que tú querías. Yo soy fino.